Do you own an annuity, either fixed rate, indexed, or variable? Are you paying high fees and getting low returns? If so, Annuity General would like you to have this free book to learn the pitfalls and mistakes of buying an annuity. The Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers contains the little-known truths about annuities, like how to help reduce your fees and increase retirement income. And it's free. That's right, free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report just for calling. We researched over 1,000 annuities and summarized rates and benefits from financially strong insurers. You get Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and the Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling Annuity General today. Hurry, supplies are limited. Call now.
800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. That's 800-760-1845.
It's We'll See About That with World Series MVP Ron Safe.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to We'll See About That. Ron Say here with my co-host, Mike Gary. And, Mike, we've had a busy week in the world of sports. The NBA playoffs are alive and well, and, we've already had a rash of injuries. Jay Morant went down for Memphis. Giannis Antetokounmpo went down for Milwaukee, and the Lakers and Clippers both surviving at this point, 1-1. But I wasn't real pleased with what I saw the last game from the Lakers. That was a game they should have been won.
That was a game that they should have won, especially with Ja Morant being out. They weren't competitive all game, but it is a fun time right now, especially in Los Angeles, when we have the Clippers, the Lakers, and the Kings, all Staples Center residents in the playoffs.
Yes, and you also have the Dodgers, starting the season up, so we got a lot of interesting sports things for the people here in local Southern California. And, the teams that are really playing well right now, I really like Sacramento. The part that I didn't like was the Warrior game the other night, Draymond Green.
Up to his old tricks again.
He's got such a violent past, getting thrown out. I think he leads the league every year in getting thrown out of games. At some point in time, I feel bad for Steve Kerr, because this has to be a clubhouse distraction at some point. You can't be losing a key player as many times as they do and have this thing happen now. And, I know that they're not happy with it, but you know what? I kind of agree with it. It looked pretty vicious to me. I thought it was intentional.
It did. It was an ugly play. Of course, we're talking about Draymond Green pretty much stomping on Sabonis' chest, resulting in some sore ribs. And, veteran sports writer Bob Ryan of the Boston Globe, who's been covering basketball for about 60 years, he just said publicly that Steve Kerr and the Warriors need to move on from Draymond Green. So
I think he's wearing out his welcome, I'm not so sure Klay Thompson has recovered, from that
Doesn't
injury.
Doesn't look the same, no.
And this guy's one of my guys from Washington State. Shoot the lights out of the basket. I think there was one quarter down the stretch here a number of years ago where he scored like 35 points in a quarter.
Yeah, and Andrew Wiggins also, he was away from the team for about two months, just came back. He's a great player, but he's not necessarily acclimated to the offense right now.
Well, so. I think the Warriors are in deep trouble, but Denver's playing well, Boston's playing well, Cleveland's playing well. I think it's going to be an Eastern Division champion coming out of this, but you never know. They got to go play the games.
We'll see about that.
Yes, we will see more about that. And we were going to return here in about 10 seconds after I give way to our commercial break. And we have a legend, Dodger Ledger, coming your way in Eric Harris.
Hi, this is Dodger legend Ron Say. If you're a business owner, would you like to save 20 to 30% on your monthly health insurance premium while improving your benefits? Then give BFF Financial a call. If you have more than 10 employees and you're interested in building a tax-free retirement income that can be funded with tax-deductible dollars, then give BFF Financial a call at 888-908-4BFF. Those are just two of the things that my friends at BFF Financial can help you with. They make some of the most important financial decisions that a business owner must make. Easy to understand. Many of my friends who are business owners always talk about how much they are looking to stretch their budgets and do more for their employees, their family, and themselves. If you are in this same situation, give my friends at BFF Financial a call at 888-908-4BFF. Call the team at BFF Financial at 888-908-4BFF to get a free consultation. Tell them Ron sent you. BFF Financial, simplifying the complex. 888-908-4BFF or visit us at BFFFinancial.com. BalanceSeven.com.
Hi, Fred Dreyer here to talk about all-natural ingredient Balance 7. Do you suffer from heartburn? Can't eat the foods you like? Then you need Balance 7. Balance 7 improves the acid-alkaline balance in the body. The right pH balance helps increase energy, memory, sleep, and it helps unlock your immune system. Balance 7 works. I know because I use it every day. So go ahead, eat that pepperoni pizza without heartburn. And now you can try Balance 7 and get $15 off your order. Free shipping, a money-back guarantee, plus a free bottle of my smooth skin. Call 800-793-9039 and mention my name, Fred. 3 1-ounce sips a day is all you need. Try Balance 7, 800-793-9039. Code word Fred. You have nothing to lose with our money-back guarantee. 800-793-9039. Code word Fred. Or go to balance7.com.
Imagine getting ahead of your irritable bowel syndrome with constipation or IBS-C by treating it with Linzess. Then you could start proactively managing your constipation with belly pain and get ahead of your symptoms. Talk to your doctor about Linzess, linaclotide. Linzess is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. It's not a laxative. It's a once-daily pill that helps you get ahead of your symptoms. It's proven to help you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually.
Do not give Linzess to children less than 2. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling.
Imagine, what could relief from IBS-C mean for you? Talk to your doctor and say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-L-I-N-Z-E-S-S.
They still call me the Penguin.
And we are back. We'll see about that. Ron Say here again with Mike Gary. And for the next month or so, we are going to be baseball oriented. We are going to have a number of different Dodger legends on our podcast. And today we have a Dodger legend, the number one all-time home run hitter in Los Angeles Dodger history, Eric Karros. Eric, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you, Ronnie, and let all the listeners know that you were kind enough to pass that mantle along to me.
I don't know if I was kind enough. Do you remember that day that you received the honor of that I gave you on the field?
I do.
When we do that, you know, what led up to that was Bob Graziano asked me what I had received from the club when I had broken the record 20 years ago or so.
Right.
And I said, absolutely nothing. And he said, no, you must be kidding. I said, no, I didn't receive anything. And so he says, okay. He says, well, we're going to present you with your little plaque, too. I said, oh, thank you very much. So if you remember, we had a gathering in the stadium club around noontime. We had a lunch. All the executives were there, and then there was going to be a presentation before the game on the field. And I had the honor of doing both. And when I got up there, I said, you know, I've been told that I'm going to be receiving a plaque today that I've been waiting 20-some years for. And I said, it reminds me of one of these new movies that's out right now called Gone in 60 Seconds. And that's how long I held on to that thing before I presented it to you that night. So once again, congratulations. You know, former Rookie of the Year, Silver Bat winner, grew up in the Dodger organization, came from New Jersey with his dad. Big Dodger fan. You ended up growing up to be Cincinnati Red fan with your favorite player being Pete Rose or Pete Rose. Something like that, right?
Yeah, no, the irony of it, big Dodger household. My dad loved the Brooklyn Dodgers, grew up a fan of the Brooklyn Dodgers, and eventually we settled out in San Diego, but huge LA Dodger fan. My brother, huge Dodger fan. So I think it was just one of those things. If my dad would have loved the Reds, I probably would have loved the Dodgers, right? And then fact that he was a huge Dodger fan, and that was the big rivalry back in the 70s when I was growing up, watching you and Davey Lopes and Bill Russell and Steve Garvey, Yeager. And you know, the arch enemy were the Reds. So that's just naturally who I kind of gravitated to. And yes, Pete Rose was my favorite player growing up.
Yeah, I always had great respect for Pete, regardless of what happened with the gambling thing, which was a real debacle, still is. I always had great admiration for the Reds. I thought, you know, their group of guys, when you line up against Bench, Perez, Morgan, Foster, Geronimo, Griffey, Concepcion, and Pete Rose, you got your hands full every night. And I thought that the 1976 team that they had, that won the World Championship, was the best team I ever played against. And I had a number of conversations with Joe Morgan about it, and he felt the same way. So it was nice to be kind of in sync with that. They were a lot of fun to play against. And the road to the World Series, all due respect to the National League East, was through the National League West.
Right. No and doubt. Dodgers and Reds. Yeah. I mean, you guys in 74, Reds 75, 76, and then you guys –
just right back again. And forth, yes. Back and forth. You know, I'm pretty sure you saw the Dodger game or part of it yesterday. Max Scherzer was ejected from the game, had rosin on his hand when he came out. As a broadcaster and one who's more up to the new rules and everything, tell us what you thought that was all about yesterday.
So at the end of the day, I think he was ejected because, you know, it was his hand was too sticky or too tacky. But I don't know, you know, is there a level of tackiness? Is there a level of stickiness? He used, he was asked to clean his hands. He did. And then he put rosin on in the dugout. Now, it was, was in front of a major league, but it was in front of a major league official. And, you know, he had been given, you know, what he thought was the okay. He put the rosin on there. And technically, you can only apply rosin out on the field.
Okay.
That's the technicality that I believe that the line he crossed, right?
Okay.
But it wasn't any different. He, you know, it's rosin and sweat. And, you know, again, there's going to be some – look at it. As we move along this year, just with the difference in rules and with the way things have kind of manifested themselves, we're going to have some hiccups. And I think at the end of the day, I mean, look at – Max made a comment. He says, I swear on my kid that this is nothing but rosin and sweat. And, you know, look, I do believe him. I do believe him.
Well, I think you made it clear, though, that the application has to be done on the mound or in the, on the field.
Yeah, that is the rule. But what's interesting about this is, remember, they asked him to completely clean his hand. So I don't know that, you know, like, look at over the course of a game, and, you know, you're going to have more and more buildup, right? So now you're in whatever inning you were in, and now you've got to clean everything off. So you've got to, you're starting from scratch, and technically you're going to just go out and go to the mound, you know, in your brief amount of time, grab a little sweat in that rosin bag. I mean, that's like asking somebody to, you know, hey, look at, I've got pine tar on my bat, and, you know, it's accumulated over time, and you've got a bunch on there. And then, oh, you get a new bat, and you're just, you're not allowed to work with it a little bit. You just get to put it on real quick and then go up. So I kind of get where he's coming from.
Yeah. Well, I had another player in my era, Gaylord Perry, who was known for his spitball. And he did throw a lot of them. And he gave you his whole routine of going from his hat to his face to his back of his neck and making you think that he's, you know, lubing it up. And then after that time passed, he used to use the rosin bag, and he used to put the rosin bag on top of his wrist, and he used to bounce the rosin bag up on his wrist so there was a lot of loose particles up there.
Right.
So when he would drop the rosin bag and make a pitch, when the ball came out of his hand, the rosin went poof into the air.
Oh, that's
and
crazy.
And it distracted you. You took your eye off it. You're focusing right here. You're watching the release point, and then all of a sudden, the poof comes up. You take your eyes off the ball. That is enough to make you miss, for sure.
That's it. I've never heard that.
Yeah, He threw it. He did this, and he got me out on one of those with two strikes. And I was screaming at him from the dugout. I'm saying, you throw that puffball one more time. And he did. And fortunately, I got payback. But there's lots of distractors out there. You know, what do you think about, you know, the new, you got the new bases, which means that now you've got more base stealing attempts. They're in opening weekend. They had twice as many stolen bases, I believe, that they had from the previous year, with a higher degree of success. So are we actually inviting old school baseball back into the game?
I think you're emphasizing it again, right? And it's not only the bases, but it's the pitch clock. It's the disengagement rule where a pitcher's only allowed to go over or disengage twice. If he does a third time, he has to get the runner out. Otherwise, the runner advances. So I think all these things encourage base running, and it allows, as you mentioned, more success. And if you've watched, you know, the last 10, 15, 20 years, obviously, the stolen base, it hasn't been emphasized because it's been proven that unless you're having a success rate of 85%, it doesn't make a lot of sense from a scoring standpoint. And again, this is just, you know, this is accumulated data over years and years, and just it's just based on percentages. So now what you've done is you've not only invited the stolen base, but the, as you mentioned, the success rate is astronomical. And so now it incentivizes running. And, you know, how do you combat that? Are you, you know, are you better pickoff moves? The reality is the way you combat it is you've got to be quicker to home. That's the reality.
Now, and after a pitcher makes two attempts, what can the runner just take off?
No, because I can throw over a third time, but I have to get the runner out. So you can't just go, but what you can do, look at you, you've got, you're leading off. You know that the only way, maybe you take a one-way lead, right? Maybe you get way out there and invite another throw, and you know, you're going to, you know, you're going to have a one-way lead going back to first, let's say.
Got it.
And if he does,
we're going to be right back with We'll See About That right after this.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who've helped people that have been injured or wronged. If you've had a revision or removal surgery of a hernia mesh implant after 2008, pay close attention to this message. Hernia mesh manufacturers have recalled some of the mesh material that may have been used in your surgery due to high failure rate. The FDA has even blamed the recalled mesh material for some of the worst of the health issues reported by doctors and patients. If you've had two or more hernia surgeries for the same issue and you're having severe complications, call the legal helpline now. You could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And there's no upfront cost to you. They only get paid if you win. So please call now.
800-817-2968. 800-817-2968. 800-817-2968. That's 800-817-2968.
If you're moving to another state, you're getting a fresh start in a brand new town. And when you choose a moving company to help get your valuable possessions to that new home of yours, you want somebody that's going to take care of your things like you would. That's why you need to call Colonial Van Lines. They're America's number one moving company for a reason. Because they'll take care of your things like they would their possessions. They'll use caution so nothing gets damaged. And they won't treat you like a number, they'll treat you like a friend. And when you call now on a qualified move across state lines, they'll give you a $250 discount. Move your things the right way. Call Colonial Van Lines now for a free quote.
Call now to learn more about this special $250 long-distance move discount. 800-847-0225. 800-847-0225. 800-847-0225. That's 800-847-0225.
If you're struggling to keep up with conversations, avoiding restaurants because you can't understand the waiter, if you've got the TV volume way, way up, then you really need these. These tiny but powerful little hearing aids are the Nano CIC rechargeable, priced at only $297 for a full pair. And no, these are not simply amplifiers. These are ultra high quality, ultra reliable hearing aids, priced thousands less than other hearing aids. They fit right in your ear. Nothing shows on the back of your ear. And at only $297 for a full pair. When you order today, Nano will give you a 45-day money-back guarantee. Order right now and Nano will give you a free portable charging case and even ship them to you for free. Here's the number. Call now.
800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. That's 800-278-1738.
Hello, Ron Say. Hello, everyone, and we have returned. We'll see about that. Ron Say here with our special guest, Eric Karas. And Eric, I want to continue along the lines of I want to talk about a little bit about the shift. I want to know how you feel about how that's working, and also how we can better educate our fans about this new game of metrics that we're playing for the last 6, 7, 8 years now.
Right. So in regard to the shift, I do like the situation now where you've got to have two infielders on each side of second base, and they both have to be, you know, you can't be on the grass. And, you know, I know it's, back in the day, Ted Williams, they had a shift, or, just hit the ball the other way, those sorts of things. But I think it's, you're talking about a completely different animal nowadays, with the data. And I mean, you virtually know exactly where guys are hitting balls for the most part. When the game was played in the 50s or 60s or 70s, it was you thought that certain things happened, but you didn't have, years and years of data. And you basically placing, especially lately, you were placing, guys in shallow right field, against left-handed hitters. And you had the information to right. back up why you were placing these right. guys in certain situations. And I think offensively, it took away from the game. As a fan, I want to see more action, and I want to see what the game was like back in the 70s, right? To a certain extent, there were two and a half hour games, a lot of action. There was running, there was putting the ball in play, and we've kind of gotten away from that. But I think that also has to do with the physicality of guys, the yes. talent level. It's called evolution, right? Like, right. You have guys who are in the 40s, just, physically aren't the same as guys now, right?
No,
and just as guys, in 30 years are going to be bigger, faster, stronger.
Right. A lot of it's like Jesse Owens and Usain Bolt. What do you expect? Modern
right.
day technology,
exactly.
The athletes are bigger, stronger, faster. It's just the way that it is. I want to touch on the idea of it seems like the metrics is going to give the player a lot of information that is going to help him study better rather than having the experience in front of him and learn from that. It's giving you a lot of information that you wouldn't have prior to that. The
right.
problem,
I think. In a nutshell, it allows things potentially to be more efficient. It allows me as a hitter to be more efficient in my work. It allows me as a pitcher. Say, for instance, I'm a pitcher, 30 years ago, and I'm throwing a pen, and, I got the pitching coach standing beside me, and, oh, boy, that looks good. Yeah, that felt good. Hey, that, you don't know anything, right? Oh, look, the catcher's saying, oh, that had good pop.
Right.
Well, now you can actually, you measure exactly, what
exactly.
that pitch did, how much movement it had, what the spin rate was, so it wasn't just it looked good. You actually can take that information now and know, for the most part, if I execute it like this, I'm going to be successful. That's just the reality. Now,
yeah.
the problem or the difficulty in which, it's never going to change is being able to execute. And as a hitter if a guy could paint three pitches and throw it exactly where he wanted three times, you're done. You're not
sure.
going to have a chance.
No.
But we know the human element that, I don't care how great you are, nobody's throwing a pitch where they want to three times. Just not happening. They're going to make mistakes, and then that's where you as a hitter capitalize. But getting back to the measuring of things and the metrics, I do believe that it allows players to work smarter. You can be more efficient. The detriment is you don't want to get consumed by it because there is that human element. There is that feel. There is that compete, and that's something that you can't measure.
I've always felt that the information is great. It's how you use it. Like you said, we went by feel back then. And that's all we really had. And near the end of my career, we started getting some video, but we were so used to not having video.
Right.
It was almost trying to get used to the new way that they were trying to use the hitting techniques as well, the soft toss, the tee. Right. It got to a point where, you know, we're at the end of our careers and they're introducing these new things. And it's not that we didn't want to do them. It's just that we felt so comfortable with the way that we were doing things that it may have felt like, oh, these guys don't want to comply to the new. It had nothing to do with that. It just had a matter of fact is I felt more comfortable hitting on the field than I did in the cage or hitting off a tee. It's where I got myself straightened away. Do you think at times the analytics, especially for hitters, can put you in paralysis? I've always felt paralysis by analysis. Right. You know, you start thinking about too many things. When you had the ability to step out of the box, you know, you have those moments in there where you're saying, well, you know, two and two, how's he going to work me here? Or what does he throw? What's his? Now you have this information, you know, this tendency. Does it get to be too much where you kind of outthink yourself, do you think?
I mean, you probably can. And again, each individual is going to deal with things differently, right? And for me, you know, I think at the end of the day, the one thing that you have to have, and it supersedes everything, is you've got to compete. You've got to compete. And yes, it's good to be prepared. It's good to have all the information, as you mentioned. But there is a time where you can have, you know, the overload, and it's, you know, you prepare. But when you get in that box, you know, you should have already done your preparation.
Correct.
And you get in there and you're just ready to go. And there are some guys that and we all know, like when we go through ruts where we're struggling, it's like there's a thousand things going through our head. You know, you start thinking, and every time you feel like, hey, he's going to throw a fastball in this situation. He's supposed to. Here comes the off speed, right? Or I'm going to just take a pitch, right? Because he's been all over the place, and that's a pitch right down the middle. And it just, those are the things where I think the compete aspect is, like I said, is the most important of any athlete, that you're going to have ruts. You're going to have times where things aren't going right. And you just got to get in there and grind. And like I said, the information is great, but got to compete.
Of course. The competitive levels today, we seem to have an awful lot of really, really high quality athletes today. You know, when I look at the lineup that San Diego's throwing out there, you look at the lineup that the New York Mets have, and not to leave anybody out, but when Tatis comes back from his suspension, San Diego's, you know, probably going to feel a lot better about where they are right now. You know, they've been kind of just lumbering along. But this kid's dynamic, made a big mistake. I hope it's the last time he makes a mistake like that. Mm-hmm. But San Diego proved that they're the real deal. And then they went out and fortified their club, getting Bogarts. Bogarts is really a good player. And when they get a couple of their pitchers back, and if Snell gets a little bit better, he's a top-quality pitcher. He just haven't been able to find himself very well. But I still think that, you know, the best teams are the teams that we've been watching. You know, the Houston Astros are still in the mix. Mm-hmm. I thought that until the World Baseball Classic and the loss of Diaz to the Mets kind of hurt their chances, because I really thought that they're going to be awfully tough to beat with him as a closer. But the Phillies haven't played well either, and I think they really have a good-looking ball club. Anybody else over there that you like besides, you know, there's a lot of good teams.
I mean, you look at in the National League, there's a whole host of clubs. I think Milwaukee's done some things, and I think they could be surprising. I mean, Woodruff's going to be out, but they've got, you know, Burns and you know, that's I think is a Peralta over there. You know, they're a team that, look at, they've got some youth and they're going to play well. But I think it's going to be the normal group. I think the Braves and the Padres are probably the class of the National League on paper.
Yeah.
Tatis coming back, as you mentioned, just the energy. It's a super long year, as we all know, and it's a game of attrition, and there's so many things that can happen. Atlanta's depth is crazy. Yeah. That's why, you know, they can sustain some things. The Mets, as you mentioned, I mean, they're just a darn good ball club. And even without Diaz, which, again, over the course of the year, that's going to wear, not having him is going to hurt. But they've been pretty good with the bullpen, and they haven't – look at Scherzer.
Yeah.
You know, he's missed a start here and there, and, you know, out early. Verlander hasn't been in there. Carrasco is on the IL. Like, they've had a lot of hits, but they're winning ball games. So I think, if anything, there isn't that one just dominant team. I think there's – you could make a case for three or four or five teams in the National League, and the American League is just the same.
Well, you know, it's most likely going to come down to the wire again. We have a lot more teams in the playoffs these days. Mm-hmm. There's not the urgency to get your players back when they go down early, like there was in our era of baseball. We couldn't afford to have that happen.
Right.
Second place was no good. When you first came into the organization and you came into Dodger Town, was there a sense of that we are elite, that we have a bigger plan in mind than most teams?
Yeah, I mean, there was it's a pride deal. It's an excellence. I mean, Dodger Town was special. And, you know, sometimes you may take it for granted while you were there. Yeah. But, you know, I do, you know, I fondly look back at that. Look at one of my first spring training, you know, I'm Duke Snyder, Sandy Koufax is walking around, Don Drysdale, Campanella's in his wheelchair, you know, the history, you're not reading about it, you're interacting with
it.
And then, of course, you know, we were all very aware, you know, I came up in, you know, 91 was my first big league spring training. But, you know, being down there in 88, 89, 90, I'm very aware of the history, very aware of what.
We're going to hold you right there, Eric. We're going to come back and talk about this right after this.
Heart failure, carpal tunnel syndrome, shortness of breath, stomach issues, lower back pain. How does it all add up? If you have heart failure and any of those seemingly unrelated symptoms sound familiar, it's time to talk with your cardiologist and get the full picture. They may add up to transthyretin amyloid cardiomyopathy. ATTR-CM is a rare and underdiagnosed disease. Recognize the signs and discuss them with your doctor soon. Learn more at connectwithyourheart.com. That's connectwithyourheart.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Spring is here, and there's no better time to try something new. Take a taste of Coke Zero Sugar and enjoy real Coke taste and Zero Sugar. Now available at participating Burger King restaurants. Try Coke Zero Sugar with your favorite food from Burger King. Satisfy your hunger and enjoy Coke Zero Sugar with a piping hot breakfast sandwich, like a sausage, egg, and cheese croissant sandwich. Sizzling sausage, fluffy eggs, and melted American cheese on a toasted croissant makes for a delicious breakfast to start your morning right. And don't forget the crispy hash browns. Or if the flame-grilled Whopper sandwich, BK Royal crispy chicken sandwich, or chicken fries are your fave, you are in luck. All Burger King menu items pair perfectly with an ice-cold Coke Zero Sugar. It's the perfect no-sugar sparkling beverage that goes great with everything. Take a taste of Coke Zero Sugar to enjoy spring your way at Burger King, where you rule. At participating U.S. Burger King restaurants. Sponsored by Coca-Cola.
Are you someone who tries to drive while distracted by your phone? Someone who props it up on the steering wheel or peeks down at it for a glance? Or just scrolls and scrolls? If so, you could be the next person to get into a fender bender, get a ticket, veer off the road, or even cause a crash that kills you or someone else. Enough with the phones already. Put them down and pay attention, or pay the price. You drive, you text, you pay. Paid for by NHTSA.
Attention small business owners. The IRS has just released a notice that businesses eligible to file for the Employee Retention Credit should not file with companies charging a percentage of their ERC refund. These companies have been shown to overqualify businesses, leaving the business owner open to audits and tax penalties. ERTCfiling.com helps small business owners file their Employee Retention Credit forms accurately and at a cost that is a fraction of their competitors. And most importantly, ERTCfiling.com charges a flat fee, not a percentage of what you get back. So there's never a worry about overqualification. Businesses that were open in 2020 and 2021 and subject to any COVID government mandate, such as a capacity limitation, social distancing, supply chain issues, and increased vendor costs, will qualify. You do not need to have a reduction in revenue to qualify for this program. Stop any work you're doing with your current employee retention credit provider and call 833-GET-ERTC or go to ERTCfiling.com to schedule your free 30-minute consultation today.
Steve Carlin going head-to-head with Ron Say. High drive into deep left field. Back goes Leszczynski. It's gone. Fred Slammer.
2-2 to Say. It's high in the air to deep left.
This Week in Dodger History is brought to you by BFF Financial. The solutions are ours, the decisions are yours.
The fans are rooting for the Dodgers.
And in This Week in Dodger History, presented by BFF Financial, it was the year 2000, fellas. And our guest, Eric Karros, the absolute legend, had two hits, including a home run and three RBI. And the Dodgers defeated the Cincinnati Reds 16-2 in Cincinnati.
Congratulations, Eric. Nice game. Who was the pitcher and what was the count?
Yeah, right? I think I can remember about four at-bats. It's what always blows me away is guys talking, oh, I remember when I was, you know, blah, 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 and the count was 2-2 and they threw me this pitch. God bless you if you got that kind of memory.
Well, I thought I was expecting a different answer.
Ron's
I thought
got
it was
it.
I thought it was 0-2.
Oh, you can tell me when.
I thought it was Pete Harnish. Remember him?
I do.
Do you recall that home run now?
I had some success off of Pete Harnish. Home run wise, I did.
That. So I expected, like, hey, listen, it was 0-2. He painted me blowing away. I hit a bomb to right center field. It was the longest home run of my career, and it won the game. You know, we talk about, the ups and downs, it being a long season. We all have our moments where we go south. We've all had our slumps, reoccurring sometimes. They last longer than we like most of the time. I heard a story that when you went into a slump, that Tom Lasorda gave you a brown paper bag with some tapes to review. You want to elaborate on that?
They were hitting tapes, and they were productive, and I know that it was a practice he had done with a lot of his players, and I'm sure that you benefited from that as well.
Oh, I wore that bag around with me a few times too. Yeah, it was a lot of fun learning the hitting techniques that were on those tapes. Yeah, no question about it. I want to delve into the time that things got a little crusty during the Murdoch and Fox ownership, Peter Chernin and Chase Carey, the trade for Mike Piazza. I want to know the inside take that you have on what transpired.
Well, I think that was a year that it was 98 and Mike was up for a contract and negotiating, and there was it come out in the media. You know, I think at the time he was looking for, 8 or 9 years, something like that, somewhere around $80 million, which would have been one of the highest deals in history. And, publicly it got out and it just – wasn't going that great from a public perception standpoint, right? And at the time, Fox ownership had taken over, and I think there was some butting of the heads from Mike's agent and the new Dodger ownership, and they essentially just said, "All right, you're out," and traded he and Todd Zeal to the Marlins, and that. I still remember. I it was after a game that I'm sitting in the training room. I'm icing. And, Derek Hall came in with who was our at the time a PR guy, and with Mike and Todd Zeal, they go into Dr. Job's room. And I'm wondering, like, what the heck's going on here? And then Mike comes out and looks like he had seen a ghost. And Fred had been in there, Claire at the time, and he had told him that he had, the two of them had just been traded. Mike walked over. He said, "I just got traded, dude. No way." And I'm thinking, man, come on, that didn't happen. But it did. It happened. And he was traded to the Marlins, he and Todd Zeal. Did not see that coming at all.
Well, Fred Claire didn't see it coming either.
Right.
How do you make a trade of that magnitude without your general manager?
Right. Well, I think it had a lot more to do with I think the relationship between Mike's agent and you know the new ownership, and then also there was some TV deal, you know, with Fox and local network in Florida. So I think it was more than just trading the player, and you know.
I had heard something along those lines,
too. Above Fred's pay grade, I believe.
Yeah, maybe theirs, too.
Right.
For sure. did you have a pitcher that you felt like you had, that you can recall that you had the most success against, that you liked facing?
Yeah, you could. There was a guy, Brian Bohannon, left-hander. You put him in Colorado, and it was just, you know, what row of seats was I going to hit it in? He was a lefty. There's a guy, Bobby Jones, right-hander. You know, those are the guys that you feasted off. There were guys that I had success off of. And then there were guys too, that I, you know, you could put it on a, that person could put it on a tee and I wasn't going to hit. And I don't know if it was mental or maybe they just had my number or what it was, but there were definitely guys that, you know, that you had more success against, or guys that just ate you up.
Yeah, and there was a lot more guys that had success against me than I had against them, for
sure.
Yeah,
no, that's fact.
You know, I mean, that's when you fail 70% of the time and you feel you're considered great in that category.
Right.
I don't know where you succeed in other businesses that way, but it did in baseball.
Well, that's interesting that you guys mentioned that, you know, as two, you know, great professional ball players. Like, if you're like 1-for-18 lifetime against a pitcher on that, you know, 20th at bat, you're bringing all that baggage with you to the plate, or do you find a way to kind of block that all out?
Well, I mean, if this guy, I had one guy that really I did not feel comfortable at all against. It was Kent Tekulve. It didn't matter whether I was in a hot streak or not. I didn't know what to do. I moved in, I moved out, I moved up, I moved back. It still didn't seem to matter. He'd always get the ball in on me, break a bat. I don't think statistically he was the worst guy that I ever had. I just never felt comfortable against him. And yet, you know, who did you hit the most home runs off of your career? I know you know that.
I believe that's Harnish. I believe it was Harnish.
All right.
Yeah, well, that's why when you said Pete Harnett, I didn't have a great average against him, but I hit a number of home runs.
You know what? The same thing happened with me on both sides. It was Seaver and Carlton, but I don't think that I had great statistics against them, but I hurt them. And, you know, big time. You know, I hit a grand slam off of both of them. Two home runs in a game off them. But it's about style. You know that. It's about style. Sometimes you just don't pick up the ball. I mean, there were some guys, when you get a guy that, like John Tudor, I remember Dusty Baker coming into the training room one day. We're facing John Tudor, and he's, you know, got an attitude. So he says, he's got a book with him. He says, "I'm not happy." So I said, "Well, okay, Bake." Miss Dr. Scald, we used to call him Dr. Scald every once in a while. And he said, "I'm not happy with John Tudor." And I said, "Well, what's wrong with that? What did he say?" He says, "Well, he said that he likes to face me better than anybody else in baseball. It says it right here in this book." And then everybody started to smile a little bit. And then he gives me the book, and I'm saying, "Oh." And then I said, Bake, the book is saying that John Tudor likes to face you best based on the statistic. He didn't say that at all. It's the book talking. And then he says, "Oh, never mind." And so it's like, you know, it was funny. We had all kinds of stuff that happened to crack us up. But you know, the good thing about you know, our era of baseball, I think it was an unspoiled era. You know, the money was there, but it wasn't like it is today. We didn't have a lot of vices like they have had in the past, like steroids. You know, that the other stuff that was hanging around was there. But I didn't think that any of that was performance enhancing. But we just had a really a lot of fun together. And, you know, now, you know, guys go on the road. This is kind of where they hang out, bond a little bit together. Everybody's family's going on the road these days, you know, with the kids. And I remember when we used to go down to San Diego, much like you guys probably did too. You know, most of the guys never took the bus down to San Diego. We always drove.
Right.
And a lot of guys brought their kids. So it was like, you know, hey, we're having a barbecue around the pool lunch, you know, noontime. And then it's over to the ballpark. And I don't think we had the kind of success that the ball club was looking for when we went to San Diego. But I don't think it really had any made any difference, but it just kind of looked that way. But now, you know, everybody travels with their family.
So, you know, it's funny you say that because I grew up as a kid in San Diego and we went to all the Padre-Dodger games. And, you know, this is your era when you guys dominated the division, but you always had trouble with San Diego. And we could never understand it. You know, it's like, how do the Padres, you know, play with these guys? But then obviously when I, you know, got in the organization and then I realized, you know, San Diego was just a, you know, weekend road trip for the families. And that's, you know, the guys are tired from walking around the zoo all day. And
then
they
got to
play a game. Right? Like, you know, it made perfect sense.
Yeah, it's one of those honeydew days, and then you got to go play the game.
Right.
It's the whole thing is so much different today. You know, everything that's done. How about your impressions of the old Dodger clubhouse that we lived in and the one they have now?
Night and day, right?
Yeah.
And you try to, you know, it's interesting because you just, at all the facilities, I just went to, my son is at Rancho Cucamonga pitching right now, which is a Dodger affiliate. And it's the first time I had been out there. And I just about, I couldn't believe it. I go, this is the minor league stadium? It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
And it's just at the minor league level, They have a chef that travels around in a trailer and they cook them food for lunch and dinner. A chef. I'm not talking about somebody that's warming up some hot dogs. I'm talking about two legitimate chefs. And this is at the lowest level. And then you talk about, you know, the big league stuff.
Right.
You know, when we played, and it's, look at each era has it better than the era previous. I mean, that's just the reality of it.
Yeah, and for sure.
But yeah, some of the stuff now you just go, wow. I think now the only thing you only have to worry about playing baseball.
Right.
That's it. Yeah. That is it. You don't have to worry about your nutrition. You don't have to worry about food. You don't have to worry about, like, you know, back you just have to show up and be ready to play because you've got all the information, you've got all the amenities, you've got. But that's the case with everybody else, you know.
Right.
So,
and it's a lure. It's a big lure. You know, if you don't have these big clubhouse attractions, you know, look, I'm not sure if it was Tampa Bay or not, but it was one of those stadiums, new stadiums, and the way they were putting it together, you know, a guy could bring in his car with his laundry, have a fluff and fold, get your car detailed, go in and get a haircut, and then have the chef serve you lunch, right?
That's Texas.
Yeah.
That's Texas.
Yeah, and it's
Texas.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. I mean, it is. It's a spa. I get it, but you still got to go out. But everybody's got it now, and you got it. You know, you still got to go out and compete, right?
Yeah, for sure. It's always fun to talk about these experiences because when I remember first coming into playing minor league baseball, I was getting $3 a day meal money. And you don't go anywhere on $3 a day meal money. And I remember taking my son when I got traded to Chicago. And he was coming to the games with me and for the day games, and he wanted $5.02 every day for lunch money. That was a lot of fun, though, boy, I'll tell you that. That was a kick in the pants playing there. Anyway, we've got to take another break. We're going to come back with our final segment with Eric Karros. We'll be back right after this. Thanks for joining us.
Here's a simple solution for you. If you have back pain, knee pain, or any other pain in your body, it's as simple as drinking a glass of water every day. Your body is over 60% water, and drinking the best water you can get is crucial for your health. Echo Antioxidant Water, developed by Synergy Science, is the best water you can drink, and it's only available through this special radio offer. Over 1,000 research studies have shown that the powerful antioxidant used in Echo Antioxidant Water can reduce inflammation, improve brain function, help you sleep better, and boost gut health. With just 2 glasses a day, you can experience these benefits right from the comfort of your home. Some people have even replaced their morning coffee jolt with Echo Antioxidant Water. Call now and learn which Echo product by Synergy Science is right for you. We offer free shipping and a full 30-day money-back guarantee. Change your health by simply changing your water.
800-944-1789. 800-944-1789. 800-944-1789. That's 800-944-1789.
If you're taking a calcium supplement, it's probably not doing what you think it is. That's because you still lose bone density with traditional calcium supplements. That's where calcium from algae comes in. AlgaeCal Plus doesn't just stop bone loss. It's the only supplement ever shown to increase bone density in clinical studies. That's right. AlgaeCal Plus increases bone density, even if you're in your 80s. That's because your bones need more than just calcium and vitamin D to stay strong. There are actually 13 minerals and 3 vitamins needed to build healthy new bone, and AlgaeCal Plus contains all of them, and it's proudly made in the USA. Your calcium doesn't increase bone density. AlgaeCal Plus does. Talk to one of our bone health consultants today and see how AlgaeCal Plus can start increasing your bone density. Call now.
800-437-8217. 800-437-8217. 800-437-8217. That's 800-437-8217.
If you or a loved one is suffering from a physical or emotional condition that has left you unable to work, then listen carefully. Take this number down. 800-593-7491. That's 800-593-7491. When you call, you'll speak with a Social Security disability expert and get a free evaluation to see if you may qualify for disability insurance benefits from the U.S. government. That's right, a monthly cash payment paid directly to you from the Social Security Administration. Whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied disability benefits, call now. The disability attorneys at Pinnacle Disability can help you build your case, file an appeal, and represent you at no upfront cost to you. Don't wait another minute to see if you may qualify for your Social Security disability benefits. Call Pinnacle Disability Group at 800-593-7491 for your free case evaluation. That's 800-593-7491. 800-593-7491. Call now.
Hey, Ron. How you doing?
Can't be just fine. And we're back for the final seven. We'll see about that. Ron Say here with Mike Gary and our special guest, Eric Karros. And, Eric, I want to give you an opportunity to talk about your broadcasting career and what you're doing today.
Exciting stuff keeps me around the game. I've been, this is my, I believe, 17th or 18th year with Fox. I have an opportunity to do games on Saturdays, either on Fox or the other network, FS1, also during the week. And then I'll call about 30 games with the Dodgers. So it keeps me involved. It's interesting this year because the pitch clock, the speed of the game, much different. It's 2:30 and there's not as much time in between pitches. So you're not you're talking specifically about the game and what's going on. And it's been pretty enjoyable.
You know, I saw a game this last weekend, I guess, was really evident of how fast the games are going. We had one game, I think, was under 2 hours. And there were other games that were like, you know, 207, 205, 215. That might be a problem for Dodger fans, you know, going to Dodger Stadium because, you know, they have trouble with the parking. Right. They get in there sometimes an hour late, and then by the time you get sat down and have something to eat and start to enjoy the game, you got to think about this game's almost over with. No, we got to beat the crowd and get out of there.
You're doing one thing now, and you're watching the game. I was going to say, though, I remember growing up in San Diego, there was a pitcher for the Padres that used to throw games that would be under 2 hours lefty, Randy Jones.
Exactly.
I know you faced him, but he just got the ball and went. And, you know, that was the norm for him.
Yeah, well, there was a game that we started. We started our games at 8 o'clock back then, if you remember.
Yep.
San Diego was starting their games at 7, and we were in the bottom of the second inning, about 8:30. The game in San Diego between Jim Cott and Randy Jones was over. 1-0, yeah, right. 1 hour, 30 minutes, and we're saying, what? It's got to be, it can't be right. Can't be right.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we're going to experience a lot of hiccups, like I think fans are going to have to get interested and understand what's going on here a little bit. The players are also going to have to adapt to it. But we're coming to a close here. Eric, I want to thank you so much for being our guest, a true Dodger legend, professional broadcaster at his highest levels, and we'd love to have you back again sometime soon. And appreciate you being here. Always nice to talk with you. Next week we have Reggie Smith, another Dodger legend, coming on board. I want you guys to have a great weekend. Thanks for being with us. We'll see you next week.